Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. You are listening to the At Real Gabe Anders Show, and I am your host, Gabriel Anders, with my co-host and trusty cohort, Richie Vegas. Richie, how are you doing tonight? You sound a little under the weather, you were telling me. Is that right? You've been feeling not so crisp, not such it's the not, crisp it's not contender?
The fit. I know that it's not the feed, but it is.
Well, that's good.
It is definitely a head cold. Getting over that, so if I sound a little raspy tonight, that would be right. But I'm still here. The show must go on, as they say.
Indeed. Well, we appreciate you gutting it out and keep jumping on here. And we have a slew of things to discuss and go over. So we appreciate you being a trooper here this week, Richie. Other than having a nasty head cold that you're recovering from, anything else of note happened to you?
Nothing I can think of over the course of the week, except for, you know, seeing all these interviews that Houston Texans are doing for head coaches, giving me several aneurysms. It's the only thing I can think of.
Oh, I would imagine. Any names sticking out to you right now? They haven't popped up on my feed as of yet, but I'm not a diehard Texan fan, so.
Well, the one that I saw come across my radar today that had me more than scratching my head was Josh McCown.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know why I thought he was still playing, but yeah,
he is still playing.
Well, that would be interesting. Well, they used to do it back in the, you know, the 60s and 70s, right? Maybe they're bringing it back.
He's technically the player still manager type role. Player, an active player in the NFL, but he got cut by the Eagles. So he's not on a team right now, but he literally jumped into getting an interview straight off of not being on a team. What were some of the other ones that I saw this week that were kind of making me head scratch? I sent you one that I know is relevant to your interests.
I don't think I saw that. What did you send over?
That we interviewed the ex-Charger, the one that I thought was dead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was, and see, I think of an ex-Steeler, right? Was it Hines Ward?
Hines Ward.
Yeah. I forget that he was a Charger. I don't even remember that.
He was.
Okay. See, that's insane, because honestly, I think of Hines Ward, right? He killed the Chargers in a lot of playoff games.
Oh, I know. Steelers legend. Oh, no. The Chargers one that had me confused was the Joe Lombardi.
Oh, yeah.
He was his offensive coordinator.
Right. Yeah. Which wouldn't be a bad move for the Texans. Definitely. Especially if they either keep Mills or bring in something. Like, he's doing well with Herbert. So. But
some of these interviews, man, I'm confused as to some of the people that we're even looking at. And I know it's early, but I have a feeling that we're going to try to rush to fill that void faster than we need to.
Well, speaking of interviews, right, we're going to jump into the news. We're going to get to good housekeeping in a second. Carolina, at least you guys aren't being as hasty as the Panthers might be. Bean right now. You saw that one. I text that over to you. John Gruden, yes, receiving his second interview for the OC position in Carolina. How shocked were you when you saw that come over? I was completely shocked.
Yeah, I was blown away. Like I told you when you sent me that, I didn't think any team would want to approach him at all.
Yeah, that's surprising, and especially so soon. So we're not gonna dig deep into that one. As the kids say, that's messy, right? I think, is that the right usage of the new usage of the word messy? There's a lot of a lot of drama there. That one's messy. We're not getting into that one, but at least you guys don't or don't. I don't know. Maybe that would be good, but that'd be a media circus for you guys for sure. I don't think Texans need that. Other coaching news, it's reported that, did you hear Jim Harbaugh is saying that if he's offered it, he'll take, speaking of Gruden, he'll take the Raiders position if it's offered to him. And he's at Michigan right now. And I don't think he didn't get fired from Michigan, did he?
No. The whole thing I heard about that was that he's using it as leverage to get a better Michigan check.
Oh, that makes complete sense. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And then
because I did see that come through. They were basically saying he was offered this deal to come to the Raiders, but I think it's just, they're just using his leverage. Plus, I even going there, I don't think he'd do a good job.
It'd be a weird fit. Yeah, it'd be a weird. I'd be upset. Of course, we know I'm a big Chargers fan, but
it's a
It's a huge culture mismatch.
So you don't think he'd have the same success he did with the Ravens if he were to land in Las Vegas?
No, not even a little bit. Way too different of a culture.
Well, that's a plus for me if that ends up happening. More coaching news. USFL announced two more coaches. Skip Holtz will coach the Birmingham Stallions. Kirby Wilson has been announced as the Pittsburgh Maulers coach. Of course, last week, I don't think we touched on it in depth. Bart Andrus is coaching the Philadelphia Stars. Todd Haley was announced as a Tampa Bay Bandits coach. Another old Chargers coach, Mike Riley, was announced the coach of the New Jersey Generals. And Kevin Sumlin is for the Houston Gamblers. They still have two more spots to announce, New Orleans Breakers and Michigan Panthers in the USFL. MLB says that they told the Rays no. I still call them the Devil Rays. I always, it's that one's never going to die or go away for me. Tampa Bay, see, I guess, gave them a split season proposal. That's what I was mentioning to you before we jumped on. So they wanted to play spring training and the first half of their seasons in Tampa, second half starting in June each year. They wanted to start playing their home games in Montreal. And then for the postseason, if they make it, would have sort of like an alternated annual, alternating annual schedule, depending on, you know, whichever year it was for between Tampa and Montreal. MLB said no. Had you heard about that at all? Today is, that's the first I heard about it today. And I guess they've been working on it for 2 years.
As you bringing it up earlier.
Yeah. So I guess MLB said no. I'm assuming it's because I read that Tropicana's lease is up in 2027. So they'd have to start something in this next calendar year or so by 2023 to get it ready for a new stadium. And it doesn't seem as if they are that, like, the city of Tampa is really on board with it. But I guess there are some renovation talks to the district that could involve a new stadium. So time will tell. And I guess it took Tampa by shock and everybody that was working on the project. So they went to the MLBPA. They appealed to MLB, or not appealed to, but they presented the proposal and MLB shut them down. So more to come on that. Speaking of MLB, we're still in lockdown. No news that I've heard. Have you heard anything yet on MLB? I have heard that one thing that we'll get into a little bit later possibly is the MLB, the owners are saying that they won't have very many concessions without a fight when it comes to the Players Association. Have you heard any new news on the lockout or anything?
I do know that there's a meeting this coming Monday between the MLB and the MLBPA, but that is the last thing I saw.
Okay, well, we're about a month out, so clock is ticking. Scheduled spring training would be pretty much about a month and a week away from now. So
your split city plan you were talking about, the MLB officially killed.
Yes. Yeah. They said no to it today. Mm-hmm. They completely pulled the trigger. They said, no way, no how. Nuh-uh. You figure out a way to sell tickets in Tampa without signing Tom Brady. Or, I mean, maybe with signing Tom Brady. Maybe that's what they need. I would say that they're not quite the Marlins, but I don't know. People just don't like baseball in Florida, maybe outside of spring training. But good housekeeping. Week 18 season finale, the Chargers did call a timeout. I have been stuck on the 2 second timeout called by the Raiders. We were sort of talking about this. I actually watched it before we came on air just to make sure. The Chargers timeout that triggered everything was at 38 seconds. And yeah, that one I did know. I just, with the emotion of the moment, I sort of glossed over. But another good job. Is it Staley, right? Is that that's the Chargers coach?
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Call the timeout at 38 seconds against your rival to make them hate you. And the one time they might actually help you into the playoffs, and go for it on 4th and 15 or 4th down on your 15 yard line. Yeah. Good job. Love my Chargers right now. And then also last bit of good housekeeping. I called the 49ers running back Richards. I was referring to Elijah Mitchell. I don't know if you saw, I put it on social media about 3 a.m. I said, watch this kid. He's going to do something. Boom, first touchdown scored in a very close game that we'll talk about. Niners, of course, over the Cowboys. And then Dax apologizing for him condoning violence. Is that what the latest dramatic terminology we're using on it?
Condoning violence and getting fined $25,000 for doing so.
Condoning violence. So I have the clip pulled up right here. Let's take a listen to Dak condoning some violence here on the NFL officials.
That's tough.
They're aiming at the referees.
Yeah. They're at the referees.
Oops, credit to them then.
That's a take.
Credit to them.
So before that, I mean, I cut out a lot of it. It was about a 15-minute press interview. That's pretty much the sentence that set off everybody for this last week, right? So we'll get more into the Dallas San Fran game. Before all of that, though, Richie, you know what time it is, right?
What time is it?
It is time, and you're sick as a dog, which might be karma from all your, you know, I think your throat might just be dry, and that's where all the coughing and the scratchiness is coming from, because I have a little birdie who lives in your neck of the woods who told me you did not stop laughing, cackling, and evil henchmen, you know, belly laughing until well into probably the early wee hours of this week, right? Over the internet hating you last week, I think. So obviously,
about it.
Obviously, somebody spiked the tears that you were drinking, but we have a whole new round of tears that because you've again set the internet on fire. The internet does hate Richie Vegas. I'm just going to run through these real quick. The state of Alabama, Richie, hates you. By the way, classical music's playing. Grab your scotch. Maybe that'll help your throat there. State of Alabama is furious with you, Richie.
Yeah, why is that? Just because I laugh at their misery.
Because you laugh at their misery, and well, you know, they're a prideful bunch, Roll Tide. So they
They shouldn't have hired a bum like Bill O'Brien.
Oh, see, and I think most of it was just the from what I was seeing, the kicking while they were down. So fresh.
I have no qualm against Alabama. I have no qualm against the Crimson Tide. I don't like Bill O'Brien. If Bill O'Brien was not their one of their coaches, I wouldn't give a damn about them losing. But since Bill O'Brien decided to try to continue a career as a coach and went to go work for Alabama, I will forever clown on them until they fire him.
I think that's why they hate you. But and very similar to that, too, in conjunction, maybe even hand in hand, front office of the Houston of your beloved Houston Texans is a little peeved with you right now, Richie. And I want to say, I don't know, take your pick, right? Bonehead moves, competent ownership, the hiring of Bill O'Reilly and just him in general. Bill O'Brien. Who'd I say? Bill O'Reilly.
He said, yeah, that's a little different.
Bill He's O'Brien
got as much, football smarts as Bill O'Reilly.
Well, my personal internet, hate is, remembering the terrible seasons with Mike Riley. I think I was still stuck on Mike Riley earlier, being the New Jersey coach in the USFL from his Charger days. But yeah, so front office of Houston Texans, I mean, take your pick. There's a myriad of reasons to hate one of their number one fans, but still, you know, Deshaun Watson might hate you too. I didn't see anything confirmed.
Good. I hate him.
But for the we'll move on from that one. Half the indie wrestlers, the independent wrestlers in America, all hate you, Richie, and it is due to
what did I do to them?
Your Pat McAfee content comments.
Oh my god!
Where you told us and the world that Pat McAfee, in his first match in his green debut, transitioning from the NFL into World Wrestling Entertainment, is better than half of the hardworking, hustling indie workers out there right now. In fact, I have a couple tweets I'm going to read to you, Richie. I had to pick the less derogatory ones because, oh boy, do they hate you. Freaky Hand Freddy from the Alabama Indoor Soccer Arena Championship Wrestling says, at Richie Vegas, RGA wouldn't know a quality match if it jumped up and bit him in the neck. Shut up, you no talent dwarf.
Dwarf, I bet you he's at least 5 inches shorter than me. Okay,
He's an indie wrestler. So
next.
Spot Monkey Stevens said, 5'11". Spot Monkey Stevens said, didn't list the promotion, but you know, he's probably got a bunch of them. One more comment like that, and I'm going to give at Richie Vegas RGA a springboard Canadian destroyer onto a pile of chairs in front of 20 people.
I'd no sell it.
Yeah, you know, and that one just seemed like, I don't know if he was taking it out on you or just, you know.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. You won't work in anywhere other than a sweaty gym. Next.
All righty. And well, those were about all the tweets I could read on air. But anything to say to the half of the indie wrestlers in America who are currently furious with you, Richie?
Look, if you'd rather waste your time being mad at me instead of being better, that just shows why you're in the position you are.
And then we'll leave it at that. Big Ben on the Steelers, Big Ben from Pittsburgh.
You mean Big Ben on the golf green?
Oh, boy. And you know what? And the reasons being, so I think this would have held a little bit more weight prior to Sunday night. But you said Josh Allen was far like him, but a far better version.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong now.
Again, I think that might have played out.
I'm waiting to hear it. Tell me I'm wrong.
He also said KC would put him out to pasture is another thing you said.
Again, tell me I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Where were either of my statements wrong? The Josh Allen one, I apologize to Josh Allen for even comparing him to Big Ben because he proved he's miles better.
You know, and there has been a little bit of radio silence out of Pittsburgh since Monday morning. So I think you've proved your point. No need to kick a man while he's down. Now,
if that man is Ben Roethlisberger, it's completely valid.
Now, switching gears, somebody else still hates you, Richie, and with new reason. Did you hear the clip of Jimmy G leaving Dallas, leaving the playing field, screaming, this is my house or something along those lines?
Yes, I did.
Beautiful. Jimmy G still hates you, Richie.
This is his house until he ends up losing next week.
Ooh, well, he's already good in Dallas. So
you can't tell me that they are going to be able to beat Green Bay.
Either which way, he won, Richie. So here's some humble pie being eaten, right? And I know we texted a little bit about this. Are you still going that route, or are you going to eat your humble pie this week and get it out of the way?
No, I'm doubling down. There's no way. This is ridiculous. Like, you can't just put it all on Jimmy Garoppolo. He might be the quarterback, but it's the rest of the team doing the heavy lifting, especially the defense.
He made the first down, Richie. 20. He would have been had the offensive line got set. He made that first down with an offensive line that wasn't set, and still half of them were on the heels.
He would be
26 and 20 of 26 as a 49er. For
Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Matt Ryan.
Absolutely. There's no debate there. We're not debating
I will say that Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Matt Ryan, but Jimmy Garoppolo is still not better than Matt Stafford.
33 and 14, multiple playoff wins. That's statistically speaking, but in that same sense, Jimmy Garoppolo is not better than Kyle Orton.
Yes.
Kyle Orton was better statistically speaking. You're crazy.
I'm also going by ability to play clutch.
He's made it to the Super Bowl. He can play clutch.
No. Look at that roster.
It's the same roster.
No, it's not.
It's the same roster.
No, it's not.
Who's different? Mostert's out, and they have
that have gotten changed since their Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, like not a whole lot on offense. Not on the offensive side of the ball. They still have Kittle. They still have Debo. That was 2019.
Who's different? Was it 2019? No, it was 2018.
Was Gore even there? No, Mostert's hurt. He's still there. He's on the bench. They got
Mitchell. It was not 2019. Was it?
Yeah. Against the Chiefs.
No. Was it?
Absolutely.
It was. You're right.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm literally looking at a side by side from their 2019 to their 2022 roster. Let's see what's different. Okay.
Everyone's there. Kittle was hurt in the Super Bowl.
No, Kittle played.
Not in the Super Bowl. No, he watched from the booth.
Did he? I could have sworn he played.
He was darn near jumping out of that owner's booth. He watched from the owner's booth, in fact. And they cut to him every other play, especially during the Chiefs comeback.
Okay, let's see here. Positions. So we're looking at the 2019. You had Jimmy Garoppolo, CJ Bedard, and then running backs Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman. So who do we have? Who do we have on the Niners this year?
Who were the receivers back in that Super Bowl? That would be like outside of Debo Samuel, who is barely learning the ropes. That might be an argument can be made.
Kendrick Bourne, Garrett Celek, Ross Dwelly, Marquise Goodwin, Daniel Helm, Richie James, Kittle, Jordan Matthews, Dante Pettis, Debo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, and Levine Toilio.
Okay. So yeah, Emmanuel Sanders was a major one. They also had Travis Benjamin, but he's been returning punts for them. I didn't realize they had.
And then you also
can't forget
that was the year that Tevin Coleman went off.
So that not was, too dissimilar. I mean, anybody
Tevin
you
Coleman's,
can.
That was Tevin Coleman's, not his best year, but that was Tevin Coleman's over 500 yard year.
Oh boy. So okay, well you're doubling down, right? Because we're running short on time.
No,
we're gonna
here's the
come.
Thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I won't say that it's not a similar roster because it is, and they have some new. But the thing is, the roster they have now is what I feel carried Jimmy G more this year. Because the whole thing was the mystique behind Jimmy G going into the Super Bowl, and then he fell flat. That's my problem with Jimmy G, and I've always told you my problem with Jimmy G is his inability to be consistently clutch.
That's fair. And we'll talk. We're going to talk about this more on the other side of the break. We'll open up maybe with that game. We'll see. We're going to talk more 49ers and Cowboys, as well as the rest of Wild Card Weekend. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. We're going to get to that in a little bit. And we're going to take our first break here on the At Real Gabe Anders Show. Gabriel Anders and Richie Vegas, we will be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling fans of all ages, the AWF is back January the 22nd in Phoenix, Arizona, as we present High Stakes. Watch the AWF stars risk it all in the ring. Bet on an action-packed family fun night of entertainment. And come roll the dice with us January the 22nd in Phoenix, Arizona at the new AWF Arena. Tickets are on sale now at ArizonaWrestlingFederation.com. And please support our sponsors. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You're listening to the At Real Gabe Anders Show, and I am Gabriel Anders along with Richie Vegas, and we are going to talk some NFL Wild Card Weekend and the divisional round playoffs. Richie, we're going to talk some playoffs here is what we're going to do next year.
That's what I've been waiting for.
And we at playoff mode is in full mode. Now, before we get into it, I just want to let you know we have Alex Salyers, the man in black himself, coming up on the program. So you'll want to stay tuned after the segment. I think he's going to be jumping in. I think he's getting everything suited to come on in here. And, of course, we'll have a good long talk. I love the guy. Great wrestler. And he's challenging for the AWF Championship this Saturday. So, of course, AWF High Stakes. You can get your tickets at ArizonaWrestlingFederation.com. Not a lot left, but what you can get them now while you can. This Saturday, that's going to be a great matchup. He is challenging for the AWF Championship with Lawrence Tyler, of course, the champion, and Albert Reiner, who's kind of inserted himself into the title picture upon his return. But now, you and I, Richie, are going to talk some NFL playoffs. Playoffs? Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs, Richie?
Playoffs.
Oh, man.
Talking about playoffs.
Wild Card Weekend. What a weekend it was. It was very good, awesome, and the other half was, holy moly, what a bunch of blowouts there were. I don't recall a Wild Card Weekend that has had so many lopsided games. Do you?
No, but you know why. It's the extra wild card. It's because the extra wild card teams that are obscenely outclassed are sneaking in when they have no right to be there and just getting completely beat down.
That is 100% true, I think. So, for example, like last year, even though they held their own a little bit, like the Redskins last year or Washington football team last year, Steelers kind of this year, you know, the reason Big Ben hates you kind of proved your point. So you can't say you're wrong on that one.
The Patriots, like, they might not have snuck in on an extra wild card, but like they were not ready for playoffs.
Oh, not by any means. I think that was completely apparent. But we'll start off with, I was trying to recall who the seven seeds were, and I don't have the seeding right in front of me, but the
seven seeds were the Steelers and the Eagles. Hang on, who was the other seven?
Yeah, that's right.
Steelers and the Eagles. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah,
they were both the seven seeds.
Well, the seven seed in my heart. Was the first game. We'll go ahead and start just top to bottom, and then we'll jump into the divisional round, and we'll start another pick. So before I go into the picks from last week, let's go and revisit the scores. Actually, you know what? I'm going to jump off. We'll just let the cat out of the bag. Richie Vegas tied me this week, so we were both 5-1 with our picks. However, you, my friend, are still in the lead. as we saw that crucial, crucial Steelers game versus the Chiefs went your way, and boy, did it ever go your way.
I had zero doubt.
And I was a gambling man, and boy, when you play with fire, you go down one game on the season. So
house always wins.
16-6. See, I should know better than to bet against a man from Vegas with Vegas in his name. Literally, Vegas is your last name. So I'm 16-6 on the season. You are now 17-5. So we'll do the divisional round picks in just a little bit, but you are in the season lead by a game up over me right now. I guess technically a half game, right? That's a full game. That's a full game. Yeah, that's a full game. So you're one win and one win higher, one loss lower. So going back into the wild cards, though. So Raiders and the Bengals. This one surprised me a little bit. I mean, I wanted it to be a blowout. Maybe I'm letting myself be surprised. You kind of called this one, though. This was a lot closer than I expected.
I knew this is how it was going to go. I told you Joe Burrow is the truth.
And see, I'm so bought into Burrow. I thought this would be a, 40 something to, the Raiders 19. I expected the Bengals maybe to have double the points they did, but Bengals finishing it out 26-19, able to hold on. And that's been the big talk of this league this year, right? They were able to finish the game and put away the Raiders, albeit late. They were able to do so. Talk about finishing off and putting a team away. The Bills put the Patriots away 47-17. They put them away, what, about maybe 5 minutes into the first quarter?
Yeah.
And that was a rough one. But Josh Allen, were we not right? Were we incorrect? Josh Allen going into beast mode, 47 points from the Bills.
Man's got a point to prove.
Mm-hmm. Again, kudos where it's due. You called this one as well because you said that the Bills were going to take the Patriots back into the wood. I can't remember the phrasing you used, but basically they're going to old yeller. There it is. There's the verb. Buccaneers and Eagles, man, this one is not even as close as the score entails, 31-15. But, those were all garbage time points. So was Brady even still in the game? I tuned out after the third quarter. So even still in the game, at that
point, they weren't even trying anymore.
Yeah, they were. Everybody was. I texted you. I didn't know who was it. I want to say Giovanni Bernard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know he was still in the league. I don't know if I'm confusing him with Corey Dillon from years past, but yeah, he tore it up for the Bucks. The one and only one you were not right on. What did you think? We talked about a little bit earlier. We're not going to get too much into the Jimmy G fights that we tend to have on air. 23-17. I know what you texted me right as time expired.
Yeah.
Niners beating the Cowboys. What did you come out of this game sort of thinking? What an emotional game, too. That was
screwed, Dak. Come on.
See, and I rewatched it. I don't really think so. Because
why? How? How do you not see the ref blatantly knocking over Dak Prescott as he's trying to set for a spike? How do you not see that?
They have to have the awareness. One, Dak should have slid earlier, in my opinion. Even when I watched, I was like, what is he doing? And two, he knows that the referee has to spot the ball, because I was a little confused when they were saying the referee has to touch the ball before the snap. That confused me on that verbiage. But when I watched it again, I realized, oh, he's spotting the ball. Yeah, you can't spot the ball yourself, Richie. You're literally causing your own delay of game at that point.
I mean, I guess I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like the ref screwed back.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree on that one. But Cowboys out, Niners are in. You're doubling down. So we'll talk more on Jimmy G next week. We'll see how he does in Lambeau. Chiefs and the Steelers. Oh, boy, that one was over before it. It wasn't, because none of the teams really started until the second quarter. But once KC got started, man, oh, man. That was a rough one to watch. What did I tell you? We were texting back. Mahomes is a cheat code. He is a real true to life cheat code.
He is a Madden cheat code.
I think the exact text I sent you was he glitched and scored 6 points. Yep. That's insane. So Mahomes is definitely back in playoff mode for sure. LA Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. a match that I woke up remembering to turn on. And I think the Cardinals, just like me, forgot the game was going on until I flipped on in the fourth quarter, because that's when they started playing. So you had a world of to say about this. What do you have to say in regards to the Rams Cardinals matchup, the final brutal beating of the weekend?
My God. So first of all, Matthew Stafford is just proving that he's been held back for years by an inadequate front office, because that man is thriving. But God, what that was, the inexperience showed for the Cardinals. I mean, Kyler Murray looked lost. What shocked me, and I'm glad that he's okay, was that Buda Baker injury. That looked really rough. And I think that took the wind out of their sails at the worst possible time when they were trying to rally back. But I thought they had a chance with J.J. Watt being active and Hopkins being active. I thought they really had a chance having their more veteran leadership on the field, but it just didn't matter. The Rams were there to play. Aaron Donald had, what, 2 sacks on the day, or a sack and a forced down? An interception there. I forget who got the interception. There's an interception in the opposing red zone for TD. Like, there was so much that happened that just showed the Rams wanted it more. And I have not seen the Rams team look this dominant since the year they went to the Super Bowl against the Patriots. I think that the Rams have a heavy chance, even more so now after seeing that hunger back in them this week. They are Super Bowl favorites, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I don't have the stat line in front of me, but I'd all but forgotten, and tell me if he did anything in the game, because I don't think he did, is AJ Green is a Cardinal? Yeah. I completely forgot.
He had one really good catch.
Okay. But yeah, for a guy like AJ Green, like, I don't know, is Murray not targeting him? Like, is he just being, you know, double covered in the absence of Hopkins, or all of the above, maybe? I don't know what's going on there, but I've completely forgot he was an Arizona Cardinal. This Cardinals team, talk about who should be a Super Bowl favorite with their loaded roster. And yeah, I know you've been saying it all year, but man, with Ertz, Hopkins is out, AJ Green, Kyler Murray. Oh boy, I don't know what happened there, but well, they have a whole offseason now to think about it and try to correctly steer that ship. But yep. On to the divisional round. So teams that are gone, and they'll watch the Super Bowl from home. Now moving on to the teams who are still in it. So schedule's been released. It was released as of Sunday, I believe. And early game, we have the Bengals and the Titans. Late game on Saturday, both on Saturday. We have the Niners and the Packers. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to watch that one as I'm at the AWF High Stakes show. Sunday early game is going to be LA Rams at the Buccaneers and the Bills and the Chiefs. First off, before we jump into this here, anything surprise you in wildcard weekend carrying into the divisional round that you made note of?
Honestly, everything that I saw, I kind of predicted.
I think that's about right. It really was a no surprises round.
Other than football. The amount of blowouts, that was the only thing that really I could say surprised me, was just the sheer amount of blowouts.
Yeah, New England. I think New England did it for me.
New England was a big shock. And then the other that was a shock, because I didn't expect it to be as lopsided it was the Arizona-LA game.
Yeah. But Bengals-Titans. So Titans have been sitting around. They're nice and rested up. So you have Tannehill and the Titans versus Burrow and the Bengals. Ooh, like the, what is that, alliteration? With the same letters there. Who do you got in this one? Because we're going to make our picks real quick before we get to the break here.
You know, I got to go with big time Burrow. I have a feeling the Bengals are the upset team. I have a feeling we're going to have an AFC championship match we've never had before, and it's going to be the Bengals and the Bills, the Battle of the Bees.
Yeah, and
Bengals and the Bills in Buffalo. I like the ring of that.
That, you know, that's a little catchy on its own too. I want to say, I'm loving the Bengals. I think this is about as far as they get though, because I've been saying it all year. I don't believe it's their year. They're very good. I'm going to go Titans on this one because I think they're just too good, and they're finding ways to win. They were 12-5 this year. Bengals were 10-7. I think that, I think the Titans do it. Niners and the Packers. This is probably the most heatedly debated game outside of maybe the Bills and Chiefs. Where are you leaning? So naturally you want to say Packers, I'm sure, but taking a step back and really rethinking it, because I know you did a deep dive this week. Who do you got in Lambeau this week?
Oh, God. Look, you know I want to say the Packers. And plus it's Aaron Rodgers off of a bye week. The man is on a mission. I do really think Aaron pulls it off because he's a more consistent quarterback than Jimmy G.
Yeah, and see, this one's been a tough one for me all week just because it feels like Aaron Rodgers' year.
I think it strikes midnight and Jimmy G turns back into a pumpkin.
Yeah, so you're going Packers on this one then?
I have to.
You know, I'm as much of it being Aaron Rodgers' year. I think that I don't think the fairy tale's over yet. I don't think it's midnight yet. I'm going to say Jimmy G over the Packers in Lambeau.
You're really going to take the Niners over the Packers
in Lambeau, in the playoffs, in the regular season? No, but I think with Rodgers having that 30-second comeback he did, I think the Niners are hungry. I think they're a far better team than anybody gives them credit for.
What makes you think that Rodgers can't pull off another 30-second comeback? That's literally his brand. That's what he does.
Oh, I think after the Dak game and after the Aaron Rodgers game earlier in the year, I think that the defense is going to play a lot smarter. The one thing that if you're watching Niners games, and it doesn't always happen within the confines of that game, they also almost beat Tennessee in that same fashion. Their ability to adapt and react to lessons learned. And I think that's going to be the key to the Niners, is their defense realizing what they've done wrong and being able to save it and stop the points from being scored. I don't think it'll be a high scoring affair. I think it'll be very similar to the Sunday night game played earlier in the year. But I think this time Niners hold on to it and get on to the championship game. Moving on to Sunday, LA Rams and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Stafford versus Brady. Who are you going on this one?
Stafford.
I'm taking
the Rams.
I'm going Tom Brady. I think their Cinderella story. I think the pumpkin carriage turns back into a pumpkin at midnight for the Rams. They've had a great year. They've come a long way. Tom Brady.
Tampa Brady. I honestly think the Super Bowl we're looking at this year is going to be either the Rams or the Packers playing against the Bills or the Bengals.
Yeah, see, and I think we're similar yet far away at the same time. I'm going to pick the Buccaneers. So you're going Bills over Chiefs? Obviously, you have to with that sort of prediction, right?
Yeah, I honestly think the Bills shock the Chiefs. Didn't they beat the Chiefs in the regular season?
They beat the Chiefs in the regular season, and they were embarrassed by the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last year, and that's why I'm picking the Bills as well, because I think Allen and the boys are hungry. And they are out for, I think they're going to be out for blood and revenge, just like they were against New England last week.
We'll see. So, I honestly think the Bills are going to pull it off.
So I'm thinking that we're going to see, I think Niners Bills would be a fun Super Bowl. I think that there is the possibility. I think, honestly, my big pick for the Super Bowl this year is going to be Buccaneers and Bills. So you can sort of fill in the brackets from there, what we're thinking in the championship game. Any last thoughts before we get a break here, Richie?
I can't think of anything. That's really it. All I know is Jimmy G turns back into a pumpkin.
Oh boy, come on, listen to yourself. Alrighty. Well, when we come back from break, Richie, you sit out and you sort of think about what you've done. I'm gonna bring Alex Salyers on. We're gonna have a nice lengthy discussion about one of the most notable men in Arizona pro wrestling and all over the West Coast. When we come back, we'll have the man in black, Alex Salyers, Arizona Wrestling Federation star, who is challenging for the AWF Championship this Saturday at AWF High Stakes in Phoenix. When we come back here on the At Real Gabe Anders Show, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling fans of all ages, the AWF is back January the 22nd in Phoenix, Arizona, as we present High Stakes. Watch the AWF stars risk it all in the ring. Bet on an action-packed family fun night of entertainment. And come roll the dice with us January the 22nd in Phoenix, Arizona at the new AWF Arena. Tickets
tickets are on sale now at ArizonaWrestlingFederation.com. And please support our sponsors.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the At Real Gabe Anders Show. And here today, we have a very special guest, a man who is a legend amongst men in Arizona and West Coast staple in professional wrestling, and one of the men challenging this Saturday at AWF High Stakes for the Arizona Wrestling Federation Championship. We have the man, the myth, the legend, the man in black, Alex Salyers. Alex, how are you doing tonight, man?
Doing okay, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Of course, I'm glad we can get you on. We've talked about it for years as we, you know, we've always sort of had this plan in mind, and great to finally get you on air and have this come to fruition, man.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like, some of the conversations you and I have had over the phone over the last couple of years, man, that those were ones that we should have been recording and we didn't for some reason. So I'm glad that we're doing this now.
Oh, for sure. So, well, let's get right into it. So, of course, you have the match coming up this Saturday, but I want to start back even further, what seems like 100 years ago. I mean, you were in before I was in, I feel like, and it feels like you've always been a competitor in the scene. When was it and how was it that you got into this crazy business of professional wrestling? Let's just jump right in, Alex.
Yeah. So I was a freshman in high school. I was 14 years old, and I was just then going out to try out for the football team. And a relative of mine, my aunt, as a matter of fact, called my mom and said, "Hey, I came across this wrestling promoter." It's no secret. My whole family has known that I've wanted to be a professional wrestler since I was 4 years old. And she called my mom and was like, "Hey, I came across this wrestling promoter. You should call him." My mom called him and said, "My son's always wanted to be a pro wrestler. Can you train him?" And it just so happened to be Martin Martinez from Piranha Lucha Libre. And so he told my mom, "Go ahead and bring him on down. We'll start training him." In Lucha Libre, as long as you're high enough to reach a bar top and reach a can of beer, they'll start training you. And they did that with me, and I started doing that first. I literally have had the most unorthodox start in pro wrestling of anybody I know. Some people hate the story. Some people kind of are intrigued by it, and you know, you're welcome to fall on either side of the line. But that's how that started. And then I got a serious concussion starting off. And it wasn't even training. It was actually tearing down the ring after a show one day. We had a situation with the ring. And
was that one of those old ones that did Martin use one of their ones? I might be thinking of another promoter, but one of those ones that you had to hammer and zip tie together.
Exactly. In this case,
one of those great old lucha rings from 10, 15 years ago.
Actually, in this case, precisely, it was actually a toe strap that had to hold part of the ring together for the tension.
Okay.
And we had an accident going down one day when we were tearing down the ring, and I was a piss poor receiver of the consequences of it. But I ended up going back into wrestling in high school. I started wrestling in high school because I knew, just because of how much of a fan I was, I knew how much amateur wrestling would help me succeed in the wrestling business. Because you look at all these guys, you look at guys like Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dynamite Kid, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, you look at the whole Hart family, as a matter of fact. And then for a lot of the younger kids, you'd look at Kurt Angle as a 1996 Olympic gold medal.
Yep.
And I immediately was just kind of like, yeah, I need to go on the wrestling team. And then I stuck through most of my high school years being an amateur wrestler as well, while still training to be a pro wrestler and or doing shows as a professional wrestler, which actually ended up crossing a lot of wires by the time I became a senior in high school and became an adult.
Yeah, and I was just going to say before we move away from it, thank God for high spots now, right?
Yeah.
Thank God for high spots. But if you know, you know.
Yeah.
But okay. So you just mentioned some of the wrestlers who you kind of like helped inspire you. Did you have a favorite one before we sort of jump into your, you know, your training, more of your training experiences? Did you have one that you could sort of point to that sort of helped usher you in when you were younger? Since you mentioned like you've always loved it, been a fan of the sport your whole life. Is there anybody that you can point to? Like me, for example, I always get laughed at. I'm sure you've heard of it by now. Mine is X-Pac, because he was little and I was little, like, you know, amongst others, but he was one that really stands out. Do you have somebody that you sort of point to as like, this is the guy, like I liked a lot of them, but this is the guy that got me in?
Yep, absolutely. And I apologize in advance if this seems too cliche for my upbringing and the time period in which I was brought up. But
oh man, I just listed off X-Pac. I think anything you say after that, you're fine.
Yeah, no, for me, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin, man.
Of course, me, yeah.
I was getting beat up in school, elementary school and stuff like that. And being a kid in my in the 90s, you know, I was born in 93. Austin became really, really big in 96, 7, 8, 9, and so on. And I started kindergarten in 2000. And so we still had a couple years left of Stone Cold Steve Austin and all the things that got me into pro wrestling. A lot of things started with him. He wasn't the very first wrestler I laid eyes on. As a matter of fact, the first two wrestlers I ever laid eyes on was actually Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit.
Okay.
But as a character, Stone Cold Steve Austin always like made me want to be a professional wrestler. And the thing that really did it was watching him and Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13. That was the match that made me say, I can't live without professional wrestling. Like I have to do this. I can't think of doing anything other than that after watching Bret and Austin at WrestleMania 13. And
such a great match. That was the Blood from a Stone, Double Turn, all that good stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
Was it Rosemont? Rosemont in Chicago?
That was in Chicago.
Yeah, great match. Definitely makes sense, especially with that. It's funny too, with me, even though I'm older, and I always forget that I'm older than you. And it's so funny because like I think one of my moments was I always remember the next one with all the Tyson buildup with HBK and Stone Cold. But yeah, how could DTA, man? How could you not be?
I was actually about to bring that up because as much as Bret and Austin meant to me as a fan, one of the coolest things was the following year, as I was getting older and starting school and stuff like that, the coolest thing was watching Austin, who I had just totally fallen in love with. I know that sounds very weird for a grown ass man to say.
No, wrestling fans understand. We know. Yeah, we understand.
I was so enthralled with Stone Cold Steve Austin, watching him win the world title. And then watching also, you have to also understand the time period we were living in too. Mike Tyson was one of the most recognizable celebrities on the entire planet. Yes. And for him to be involved in that, like if you were as big of a Stone Cold Steve Austin fan as I was, there was no way in hell that you could watch that and then not be one of the most memorable nights of your life. And it was for me. So it was kind of a double whammy back to back year to year. Bret and Austin at WrestleMania 13 to make Austin who he was and kind of catapult him into WrestleMania 14 the following year, and then watch him literally take the entire professional wrestling world by storm. He's the reason that WWE ended up going corporate and going public on Wall Street. And I got to live through that time. And I'll always argue this. I got to live through what I feel, and I know this is subjective, but what I feel is the most amazing time of the entire history of our business to be a wrestling fan.
Oh yeah, it was nuts. And 25 years later, you know, we're still kind of itching for that return of that magnitude of a moment for sure. But that was sort of your, you know, your pre-training days. So getting into let's get into the training sort of environment now. Once you strapped your first pair of, you know, little Salyer's boots up. And it's so funny to me, and not to knock on you at all, just being so young. I always forget you were 14 when you started. But when little Alex Salyers was just, you know, at that time, the the teen in black becoming the man in black. What were some of the things that, because obviously you learn a lot from training, but what are some of the key things that you would say you took away and that you still, you know, all these years later, find yourself sort of, you know, whether it be in your head, pre-match, post-match, just still find yourself utilizing and remembering today, would you say?
Dude, I'm still training today. After all these years, I'm still training today to be better. So I'm still learning things about this business today, because it seems like every day it shifts on a dime and it changes and it evolves in some way, shape, or form. Starting out, like, I learned from Lawrence Tyler the most, the guy that I'm actually fighting this Saturday
for the championship. Yep.
Championship. Yeah. It's kind of teacher versus student with another dude in the match. That's kind of sticking his nose where it doesn't belong, but,
as he's known to do.
Right. Yeah. But I learned a lot from Lawrence Tyler, training with him. He kind of taught me how he taught us all. And it's not just me. I mean, I had what I feel, and what I'll always defend. I feel like the class I was in of wrestlers was the cementuous class that really like catapulted Arizona's wrestling scene. You know what I mean? And, he taught us all kind of how to be very self-aware of ourselves in the locker rooms, because every time you step into a brand new locker room, whether it's in the same city, different state, whatsoever, everybody in there is a shark, and and you can't be vulnerable in a wrestling business like this. You know what I mean? I can be vulnerable with my wife at home and my children and stuff like that, as a man and a father, because when I'm at home, I'm just that. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm all these things. But when you're in a locker room, you're an employee, you're a wrestler, you're a businessman, you're a truck driver, you're a self-promoter, you're all these things, and you can't have vulnerability. So Lawrence really taught us how to have a lot of self-reliance and self-awareness. Right. And I'm not saying this because I'm on your show. But I will say this, because, and this has been kind of a running joke between you and I over the years, but, one major thing, and don't get me wrong, I've had a lot of veterans, quote unquote, chew my ass out over this over the last several years about, you know, some of the bumps I take and, or have taken, or some of the risks I've taken that were maybe not in the right place at the right time. And as much gravity as those conversations and ass chewings have had on me, one of the biggest things I took away from a lot of the people that I've worked for or people I've worked with was actually with you. You used to get really mad at me because it seemed like every time I showed up to the building or every time I showed up to one of your shows, I'd want to jump off of something or do something crazy or try to do something to get myself and the company on the map. And, we've joked a lot about that over the phone, but I also know that even though we're joking sometimes when we're talking about it, I know there's a lot of seriousness coming from that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And unfortunately, even though I'm old in the wrestling business, comparatively speaking, because of the time I've spent in the wrestling business, I also understand that you're older than me and you're probably a little wiser than me. You've had a lot less concussions than me. I can guarantee it. I have paid a very physical price for some of the stuff that I've done, thinking that it was okay at the time. Wishing I can go back now. I just turned 28 years old, and I wish I can kind of go back and take some of those decisions back, because I am dealing with some serious consequences physically over some of those things. I'm dealing with you and I actually talked a little bit before we went on the air. I'm having some CTE problems, and I've been diagnosed with an early onset of spinal stenosis, which is the same thing that ended Edge's career, Daniel Bryan's career, Sting's career, things like that. So I have to take all of those things into account now, because not only am I getting older in the wrestling business, even though I'm still considered young to many, I also have to consider the fact that I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a family man. And the last thing I ever want to do is come home and not be able to play with my kids and walk my daughters down the aisle someday when they grow up and things like that. You know what I mean? So I have to really be cautious of that stuff now. So if I'm going to take a chance like that anymore, I'm going to do it very, very,
it's gotta be calculated.
It's going to be calculated.
Yeah.
problem is I, you know, guys like you were around me at a time where I kind of had my head in my ass and my ego was running rampant, and I didn't listen as much as I should have, and I wish I had. So I apologize, but I also thank you for that. So,
oh yeah, well, it could have been a lot worse. I bet. Like even the, you know, even though you were doing your thing, and which, by the way, was always entertaining. Never a lack in the entertainment. As a promoter, of course, yeah, I say the things that, but as a fan, like, oh yeah, everyone's, you know, you do those things as, and if you're ever wondering, just go back and watch some old AWF tapes, like that, you get responses, and that was the biggest thing too. But at the same token, like, I guess it is sort of my role to be in that dad role of just like, well, hey, remember, like, you want to walk when you're 40. So, yeah. or if the draw is a little light, like, hey man, like, you know, ticket sales aren't that good. Maybe do a couple more lockups. So, but yeah, no, I think that that your style's definitely matured, and you can tell. And at the same time, like, just as recently as the last time you were on one of our cards, I had a Jesus Christ, Alex, what are you doing moment when LT dumped you off the top rope. But, you know, not really anything that's your fault anyway. But the it makes sense. Definitely makes sense. And then I was gonna say, so with that sort of in mind, you know, the I think you touched on them, and just sort of to elaborate, you know, I was gonna ask you, what are some of the things that, you know, that you sort of picked up along, you know, along the way, which it sounds like this, whether it be from myself, Jared, or just in different locker rooms that you've been on. So I mean, like, protecting yourself and, you know, not good. I think that's everybody, especially anybody who has a style close to yours, is pretty common, right? Just sort of learning, like, you don't have to go for the gusto every single time. Not saying you can't, but there are moments where, you know, something else might do just as well. But yeah, like, would you say, like, what have you learned sort of along the way? Like, what are the biggest things you've sort of picked up in locker rooms, whether it be veterans, promoters, or just, you know, like, fan feedback, or just learning through your own experience? What would you say?
Yeah, this is going to sound so cliche, so I apologize in advance, but one of the biggest things, a major phrase that gets thrown around a lot of locker rooms that maybe some of the younger guys don't listen to sometimes, is less is more. You know what I mean? You can think of a at least a dozen big WrestleMania moments where guys are jumping off of ladders or going through tables and doing this or that. When I was younger, that's all I want. Like, I wanted to do all those things every time and didn't know when to, like, space those out and time those out and make them mean something. When you're doing it all the time, it doesn't mean a damn thing. But if you just go out there and tell a story now, I don't know if you've noticed this recently, but I don't go out there and tell a story with my bumps anymore. I go out there and tell a story with my face. Yeah. I go out there and tell a story with my emotions. I go out there and tell a story with my body language. And I, you know, very, very much so like Jake the Snake Roberts, as a matter of fact. I'm very cautious about how I tell a story and how fast I accelerate a story to get me to those moments where it might be worth jumping off of the top rope to the outside or off of XYZ. You know what I mean? Like, I don't just accelerate it straight to the extreme. I don't go from 0 to 60 anymore. Instead of just wanting to do that from one show to the next, I'm willing to go 3, 4, 5, 6 months before that happens, telling a story to make sure that people are invested in what I'm doing before I put my body under that kind of scrutiny physically. You know what I mean? And into that kind of physicality and into that kind of risk, you know?
Yeah. And there's so much to be said for the buildup too. The buildup is so important too. Like you were saying, if you come out of the gates, jumping off the ladder, which you've done in matches and is perfectly fine. The one that comes to my mind is your legendary false count anywhere match, or New GQ. I can't remember which stip it was, but with Chris Evans at New Dawn, when we opened the Glendale building, which, you know, is still one of the best matches in AWF history. In a lot of accounts. You're welcome. Absolutely. But the buildup, you know, and you guys had buildup for that. So that was another big thing, is that's the reason you were able to come out of the gates. But yeah, no, definitely makes sense. And getting to point B is so important. But we're running a little low on time. So I wanted to ask you, just so for anybody listening. So you're a few matches in now. You've made your return. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, is you had a pretty bad accident. So you're okay with us talking about the accident. Is that right, Alex?
Yes, sir.
All righty. So you had a pretty bad accident with the saw on the arm. If you know Alex, you know, there was a very, very bad injury that he had outside of the ring. Circular saw, very, very, we won't go into graphic details, but it was something that for a second, it looked like you might not wrestle again. Right. And you're able to return. Thank God you were able to get back in the ring, and you've been at it for, you know, the past, is it almost 4, 5, 6 months now at this point? How have you been feeling? How's it been being back in the ring, back in the swing of things? And how are you doing since returning from your accident, Alex?
Yeah. So I was having a very rough time personally in my life. And I was just working on a project at the house for my son. I'm sorry, can you still hear me? I just want to make sure you can still hear me.
Yep, we got you. You're still here.
Okay, cool. I'm not very good with technology. I apologize. But no, I was working on a home project for my son, and I didn't have my wits about me that day, and had a very bad accident with a saw. And I fell in the garage and cut my arm almost completely off. And my wife had to jump on top of me and basically hold my arm together and hold my arteries shut so I wouldn't bleed out in the middle of the garage until medical personnel got to me and put a tourniquet on my arm. And I woke up the next day because I had passed. I had lost consciousness by the time I was in an ambulance. And, you know, just to save time, I'll just kind of speed up the story, I guess. But I woke up the next day in a trauma center, surprised I even had an arm. And I thought I'd never wrestle again, too. You know what I mean? And
as we all did. I think we all thought that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and at that point, to be honest with you, my man, like if I had never wrestled again after that, like I can take that as a punishment for how stupid I was. I was just happy that I woke up the next day and was still able to come home to my children, because I'll never forget the moment where I left the hospital and Amber and my kids were all in the car waiting outside the hospital when the nurses rolled me out of the hospital after my surgery and everything. And when they dismissed me from the trauma center, I'll never forget opening the door and seeing my kids' faces, because I came so close to never getting to see them again. And I'll never forget the moment where they opened the door, because they were in the house when the accident happened. As a matter of fact, I was in the garage and they heard the commotion outside. And they actually opened the door and saw me laying there in a puddle of a huge pool of my own blood. And that was traumatizing to them. And so just to be able to come out of the hospital and open the car door and kiss my kids again, you know what I mean? Like the price you can pay, like I can deal with never having another wrestling match again. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're really comparing it to being able to come home and be a dad again, like, I can tell you which one wins every single day. And it's
not, of course, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But to answer your question, it's kind of weird timing. It's very weird timing, because once that accident happened, like my wife and I, we talked and let's build our life the way we wanted to build it. You know what I mean? And we had some issues with a pregnancy prior. I didn't really get her permission to talk in detail about that, so I won't go into it. But we tried and tried. We ended up pregnant with twins. So around the time I came back, Arizona Wrestling Federation was actually the first show I came back to. And it was the most amazing. Like, I don't even know how to verbally describe that. Like when I was taken aback. Like when I came through the curtain and watched everybody dive out of their seats and do what they did when I came out of the curtain, it was just like, for me, like what? Like, are you sure you meant that for me? You didn't mean it for the guy coming out after me or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I was right. I was so shocked. And that was such a humbling moment. They didn't have to do that. People didn't have like, and that was like, that was Arizona's wrestling fans. No matter what promotion you decide to go watch and pay a ticket to see, like that was all of Arizona's wrestling fans showing up that night to just say, I took it as like they were showing up that night to just say thank you, like
a thank you and a welcome back, because it was the fan nation that night. But like you said, it was the entire state and anybody's life that you touched. It was definitely a welcome back, and I think a huge gratefulness that we were able to see you get in ring once more, because that doubt was heavy, man. That doubt was heavy, and we talked about it off air. Like, yeah, I didn't want to tell you at first, but they were definitely, I think I remember getting a text message from you and say you having just had, I think probably been released within days, telling me when I get back in the ring, and me going, ooh, yeah, okay. No, obviously I didn't text you what I was thinking, but my first thought was like, oh boy. Yeah. If man. Right.
And I don't blame you. I don't blame you for feeling that way one bit, as a matter of fact. But when I came back that night, it was like, it was almost like they were, and I'm not trying to speak on anybody's behalf, and I don't mean for this to sound egotistical in any way. I do feel that was their way of saying, like, whatever time you did give us with your body and your effort in this business, we do care and we do recognize it and we do appreciate it and we love you for that. And that meant the world to me, because I've had a lot of detractors over my years, you know what I mean, with or without this accident. So after this accident happened, I thought, like, what if I have to come to terms with never wrestling another match again? And it's just not enough for me, you know what I mean? And so, like, when I came back to try my hand at this, and everybody just was so accepting and they loved me so much for that. And I was just like, what did I do? Because I've done a lot of bad in my life, my man, but like in my mind, it was kind of like, what did I do to deserve this much love? And you know what I mean? Like I was so humbled. I can't even put it into words. And it's kind of at a weird time right now too, because like that was only a few months ago, for our listeners, like that was only just a couple months ago. Right. And now I'm here getting ready to face Lawrence Tyler and Alver Kreiner this Saturday at High Stakes for the title. And right after that, whether I win, lose, or draw, whatever, like a couple, like with any minute, my wife can go into labor. She's pregnant with twins right now. You know, we tried again to have a baby, and she's pregnant with twins right now, and she can go into labor at any minute. I gave her very sincere instructions not to come to the show Saturday, no matter what. I know she wants to support me and stuff, and I appreciate that, but her and our kids don't need to be around that right now, because she needs to be at home resting. I mean, she can go into labor at any minute.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And it's definitely a welcoming moment. And oh yeah, man, it's makes sense completely. And she's always there by your side, so we'll be able to get her a feed or a tape or something. So yeah, man, I think, you know, that's about all we have time for here. One thing I did want to go ahead and give you the opportunity to say is anybody who's, say, you know, at the academy or in training or just, you know, within earshot of our voice here, if you could tell them anything about, you know, somebody getting into the business right now, what would be Alex Salyer's Man in Black's best advice to anybody who's currently either in training, thinking about getting into training, or starting off the journey, having been there and sort of gotten to where you are, what would you tell them?
Ooh, I'm going to get heat for this, but just based off of my experiences, you owe nobody anything. The only person you owe anything to is yourself. When you get into this business, you don't owe anybody an explanation. You don't owe anybody an apology, and everybody has a life. And to anybody, and I don't mean to single anybody out, but the gentlemen that are in some of these classes and stuff like that, you're a man before you're a professional wrestler. Because when you're on your deathbed, the wrestling business will not be there to kiss you goodbye. if you are a father, if you're a husband, if you're a family man, if you have a lot of friends that you care about, those are the people that will be there. Wrestling will go on with or without you. The only thing you have an obligation to when you step inside of a wrestling ring is to be the best version of yourself you can as an athlete, as a self-promoter, as a person, and as a performer. You don't owe anybody anything outside of that. But if you're going to step inside of a wrestling ring, you do owe the people sitting around that wrestling ring the very best version of yourself. That's not to say that it's expected of you to give that every single time if you fall short of that, because everybody does.
Right.
But you owe it to yourself to give yourself the best opportunity to make it as far as you can in this business. It does not happen for everybody, but you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror as a person, man or woman. You have to be able to look yourself in the mirror as a person and come to terms with the life that you have and the cards you're dealt with in this life. And you have to be able to know how to be happy with yourself with or without wrestling. Otherwise, you are going to set yourself up for failure every time.
Beautiful. I love it. And that's hand in hand with what I am. And you've heard it, Richie. You've heard it. And everybody who comes across me has heard it. And I'm glad it's not falling on deaf ears. Look out for yourself first. And no matter what you're in, this can be a very you business and a very me business. So you got to make sure you're looking out for number one. So great advice, Alex. Great advice. I love it, man. Well, that'll about wrap up our interview here. Richie and I are going to talk about some hockey, some more wrestling, and then get on out of here. Before we do, though, Alex, thank you so much for coming on. We definitely appreciate your time. We got to get you back on. Congratulations on both the addition to the family and good luck on your match this Saturday for the AWF Championship, my man.
Thank you very much. I look forward to winning your guys' title this Saturday and kicking the shit out of two of your best guys.
There you go. Well, to see him do that, remember, go to ArizonaWrestlingFederation.com. There's not a lot of tickets left, but get yours now. Grab up your last few tickets. We have just a little bit of time remaining, so get your tickets at the new AWF Arena in Phoenix, AWF High Stakes. This man will be in a triple threat for the AWF Championship. And yeah, look forward to having you back on, Alex. Definitely thank you again, man.
Oh, I can't wait to be back on, man. I got plenty of things I'd love to talk to you about anyway, so.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. You're listening to the At Real Gabe Anders Show. And myself and Richie Vegas will be closing out when we come back on the other side of this break. Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling fans of all ages, the AWF is back January the 22nd in Phoenix, Arizona, as we present High Stakes. Watch the AWF stars risk it all in the ring. Bet on an action-packed family fun night of entertainment. And come roll the dice with us January the 22nd in Phoenix, Arizona at the new AWF Arena. Tickets are on sale now at ArizonaWrestlingFederation.com. And please support our sponsors. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to about do it for us here today on the At Real Gabe Anders Show. I just wanted to send a quick shout out and big thank you to our guest here tonight, Alex Salyers. Thank you, bud, so much for coming on the show. We certainly appreciate it, as well as all our listeners and the AWF Fan Nation. Of course, if you want to hear more At Real Gabe Anders Show, check out our past episodes and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you get them, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts, we'll be there. So give us a follow, give us a 5-star rating. We genuinely appreciate it. And give us a review, because we'd love to hear what you think of the At Real Gabe Anders Show. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, for myself, Richie Vegas. Richie's feeling a little under the weather, so he'll be back up at full speed. He's getting some rest. Alex Salyers, good luck to you, buddy, with your AWF Championship match coming up on Saturday. And to everybody listening, we certainly greatly appreciate you listening in and tuning in here today. We're going to be at you next week with the divisional round recap, some baseball, hockey, football, wrestling, all sorts of stuff. Who knows what the next week will bring? Follow us on Twitter at RealGabeAnders and at RichieVegasRGA. And for now, We bid you adieu and thank you so much again for listening to the At Real Gabe Anders Show. We will talk to you next week.